go, go. We're recording. It's happening. Ooh, we're finally here. This morning has been quite an adventure, to say the least.
Public transport.
Absolute nightmare. Hello. Welcome to Starting From The Pits. It is great to have somebody joining me in person for once. I mean, it's been so long. I've just been over Zoom, and now it's finally nice to have somebody with me. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and it's so nice to do it in person,
because
same over Zoom and with work as well, you're just constantly on a screen.
You just can't have that same connection to somebody, can you? So would you like to introduce yourself before we get going?
Of course. So I'm Shannon Tobin. I currently work for Alpine Formula One team as a junior business analyst. I have also spent the last few years in and out of racing myself in different series, mainly the C1 Endurance series. Love all things motorsport. Love all things horses as well, so got a lot in common. That's kind of me.
Amazing, perfect. So I had this discussion with you before you came, and I was like, tell me what you actually do with your job, because when you say a business analyst, I'm like, sorry, what?
I think it's that typical thing, and we always laugh with my friends as well. You actually don't know what someone actually does. You just hear the title and then that's
like,
that.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a bit of a complicated thing to explain, but essentially as a business analyst, we look at business problems. So someone will come to us with a problem, or we'll see an inefficiency somewhere in a process, or they might just want to know if they can do things better. They come to us and we sit there and we do some analysis. We'll talk to everyone about how they do their day to day. We'll look at processes. We talk to different people. And what we'll do is we'll actually map out a process from start to finish.
Right.
We'll pull up all the little pain points, all the niggly bits that aren't quite working well or where we think we could improve. And then we'll follow that through with requirements gathering, so we'll try and figure out what we can do to make this better and what people want from this process or this solution. And sometimes we'll even follow it all the way through to providing a solution and project managing all the way through to delivery, and then that little bit afterwards, checking it's okay, phase two, things like that. So it's quite a big kind of
process.
Yeah, process and role, and you get to do so many different things and speak to so many different people. So you get a bit of analysis, a bit of mapping, you get to speak to people, you get to find problems. And I kind of just laugh and say my job is basically being nosy all the time and telling people to change how they're doing things.
I bet the amount of gossip that you get must be quite hot.
I mean, there's always gossip in workplaces, I guess. And we do get to hear a lot of what's going on at a really lower level that possibly doesn't trickle up. So that is both a perk and a nightmare of the role.
So sort of, what is kind of an example of a problem that you would come across that you have to resolve?
So varying problems. I mean, it could be that there's just timelines, things aren't done quick enough. It could be that one of our programs that we have has been in for a really long time, so it's no longer the most efficient way to do things. Or it could be implementing something new, like a new process for visitors. That's one of my current projects at work. And the process we have has been the same one for nearly 20 years. And now we're looking at it and wanting to improve that process, both for data capture and knowing who's coming on site and planning ahead, and also to make it more of an experience for people coming on site. If we have events with some of our sponsors, things like that. So that's an example of one of the projects I've done, analysis and project managing, and hopefully we'll be launching soon.
Amazing. So how did you land a role like this? Is this what you sort of always wanted to do, or?
Not at all. I, to be honest, did not know what a business analyst was until I got offered the role, which is fair. Most people don't. I ended up at Alpine in a crazy turn of events. Essentially, I raced with one of my now colleagues in IT, Kerry Sparling, and she came across a role in IT that was an internship at the time and said, look, I know it's IT because I am not technology oriented in the slightest. She's like, I know it's IT, but I think this role would suit you. And I had a read through it, and it was more about communication, talking to people, writing content, things like that, which is something I love. And I was just like, you know what? The worst they can say is yes, because I'll have to move country, because at the time I lived in Ireland. So I popped my application through, and about a week later had my first interview. That was over Zoom.
Oh my God.
And it was a day after my first ever race as well. I did the 24-hour race at Silverstone with Kerry. And a few of the other girls as well, Amy, Magdalena, and Becky as well. And we showed up as the only all-female team and nailed that weekend. It was great fun. Had my interview on the following Tuesday and met my what would be my boss at the time. And it was just great. And I walked out of the interview feeling really quite happy that I'd answered some of the questions, because they were different questions you don't get in standard interviews. And I kind of walked away from that with kind of hoping, but also thinking, oh, I'm going to have to move country if this goes well.
Yeah.
And about a week later, I got invited to the factory for a walk around and a second interview. And I showed up at the factory and I was excited because I'd never been to a Formula One team factory. Yeah. No, not many people have. No. And it was just one of those. I met who would be my boss, Nick Tasker, at the time, and met a few other people. And I think we sat down to have lunch after a tour and a discussion. And one of the head of IT at the time, he walked in and he said, so when are you starting? I got the job.
Oh my God,
and
amazing.
That's kind of it. And I moved a month later. So I moved and started. My first official day was 4th of July, 22. And I've been there ever since. About 6 months into that internship role, an opportunity presented itself after talking to my current team. And they were like, it sounds like you'd suit this role.
Mm.
And I was like, I'd really like to give it a go. And I started my new role on the 1st of February last year. So it's been just over a year now. And I've loved it. It's so different. It's something you don't expect to be doing with your life, but also that just makes so much sense. So,
I think it's so interesting. Everybody that I seem to have spoken to so far never has a smooth journey into Formula One or into racing in general. There's always some sort of story to it. So I think, again, you're a very good example of that. So what kind of skills do you think you need to possess to be in your role?
So I think communication is a big part. Being able to speak to people, being able to get information out of people. You want to be able to ask them what they need, what they want, and where their troubles are at the moment, and be able to then translate that into some really clearly defined requirements. You've got to have some patience because it's not always easy, and you've got to be pretty organized because there's a lot to do. But it's mostly people skills. A lot of it is people skills. And I think that's why I love the job so much, because I like people. I like talking to people. So those are the big things. A lot of the other sort of analysis side of things, a lot of it is logic. It's thinking things through and just being a little bit process minded as well.
So are you at the headquarters every single day, or are you sort of, do you get to travel with the team when they go to races, or is it very much just office based?
Mine's very much office based. Right. So I spend all my time at the factory walking around, and a lot of people want to travel. It's the nature of the business. Everyone wants to get to F1 and travel the world. And don't get me wrong, it sounds amazing. I have a lot of friends that travel with the team, but it's also a lot of work. Like you're away 24 weekends of races this year. You're away a lot of the time. You're not at home. So it does take some special consideration, but that's what you've got to do. And obviously there's a limit to how many people can travel. If we could all travel, there'd be 1,000 of us at every race. That would be crazy. God. So no, I'm factory based, but that's still great. We get so many good experiences at the factory. Mm. We get sponsors coming to visit. We get to see the drivers when they come to the sim. Yeah. And it's just really cool because whilst it's a job like every other job, every morning you walk into reception, you see two Formula One cars.
Yeah, it's not above you, is it?
It's pretty cool.
So have you guys felt a pull on the 24 races now? Does that kind of trickle down to you guys as well in terms of pressure and how much you need to deliver?
Yeah, so I think every year we want to be better. Every year we want to win a championship. Mm. Obviously, at the moment, Red Bull is
so dominant, far, it's ridiculous.
Far out racing everyone. But there's pressure every day, but also everyone that works in the sport has a joy for it as well. They have a love for motorsport, so that goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like, you work hard because you love the sport, and you work hard because you want to see people succeed. You want to see the drivers go out and enjoy themselves at the weekend and come back, you know, on that podium if possible. So there is a lot of pressure, especially this year with us not doing as well. But at the same time, even when we were finished fourth, there was still that pressure because there's always somewhere higher you can finish.
Of course, yeah. So what would you say is one of the biggest things you've learned being in this role?
Oh, I think this role specifically, I've learned that, let me have a think. There's a few things, but I think I've learned that things are never as straight as they seem. Like, things don't go as smoothly as you think. Like, from the outside, being a Formula One fan, you see these
You see the polished end product, don't you?
Yeah, you see the amazing cars rock up at a race. Yeah. You see the teams do these pit stops in so quickly and so coordinated. And okay, sometimes it goes wrong. That's the nature of sport.
Yeah.
But generally, you see this amazing spectacle and this amazing racing, and you have no idea of the amount of stuff that goes on in the background. And how sometimes it doesn't always work out, and things going on, and people. And I think the biggest thing I've learned is that there's so much to be said for team collaboration and people just mucking in and getting stuff done sometimes. I think that's probably the biggest picture, because I said you just see this polished racing at the end of it, and you don't get to see and experience all that behind the scenes grit that goes into
it. As well with racing and Formula One, a lot of people are so passionate about it, and then when people get into it, that passion then follows through with them, so that team atmosphere is always feels as though it's a lot stronger than somebody who's saying, like, I don't know, sales.
Yeah, I think that's it. You're all kind of tied in a little bit more way than it's just a job.
Yeah, it's a hobby than a job.
It's a hobby, it's an interest, it's a passion. And there's something really cool about you doing a little bit of work, and then whilst no one else sees it, you can see exactly where that fits into the race weekend.
Right. I was just about to ask, actually, what is kind of like one of the most satisfying moments you've had in your job?
Oh, I think for me, it's just seeing those little changes that are being made every day, because that's our role. Yeah. It's making the little changes so that people, like engineers, can be more efficient, mechanics can be more efficient. It just, it trickles up for us. We don't often see one massive change.
It's just the little things that then make a big change.
Exactly. But then sometimes we'll have our project launches that are a bit more in the limelight, like you can see them, but a bit like the visitor one when that eventually goes live, and you can kind of see it. And no, that's not going to make the car quicker.
No.
But at the same time, it's something that's going to make a difference to people every day.
And you never know, that could be something that's in terms of like sponsors that come in. They could get that experience, enjoy it, sponsor the car, and then, you know, bring more money and funds. So you just never know.
So there's so many different things, but I think one of the not directly related to me satisfying moments was the podium in Monaco last year, because Monaco falls on my birthday every year. Last year, dead on the 28th of May. And I was back home for my birthday, visiting my mum and dad, and just watched it, and it was podium on my birthday. And I remember having a bit of a chat with everyone about it at the Christmas party as well. I was like, you have to do that every year now. You realise that.
Best birthday present ever.
Exactly.
Speaking of Ocon, obviously you get to meet the drivers. Do you still get that starstruck kind of feeling when you meet them?
I think you do, literally, because obviously they're so busy and they're away quite a lot. So when they do get into the factory, there's 1,000 people there that want to speak to them.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes you miss them, and sometimes you're stood in the canteen queue behind them because everyone has to eat. And it's just nice because they take the time most of the time to just, when they can, have a quick chat or say hi or just give a wave, or they'll come in and speak to us. Like, we often have debriefs every few races where everyone will gather in the race bays and we'll talk about the races, we'll talk about what we've achieved, what we can change, what we've improved. And you'll often get one of the drivers pop in and just say, look, this is what the car feels like, this is what we can improve from my perspective, this is how I'm feeling. And you know, a bit of a motivational chat, especially this year as well. Yeah. It's really nice to have them that involved.
Yeah, so speaking of this year, obviously it's not quite gone. It's not the most ideal start to the season. How is the team feeling? How is the vibe?
The vibe's okay. Like, we've had a lot of change. Mm. We're obviously not doing as well as we'd like, but someone has to be somewhere in the grid. Exactly. It's just the way it is. But we've got, you know, we're working hard. We're hoping there's improvements to come, that the car's going to get quicker. And every day we just go in and we work as hard as we can, and we push to try and make sure that that happens and that the drivers can be happy and out racing and where they deserve to be.
Okay. Love that. So let's talk a bit about you and your racing.
Okay.
You mentioned the endurance, 24 hours. How do you do the 24-hour races? Because they are absolutely insane.
I actually, so when we, well, as I got into motorsport through a competition, I've never been on track before.
Okay.
And it came up on my social media and it was like, oh, you're a woman and you've never raced. Yeah. Here's an opportunity to win a seat in the McLaren for the season. And I was like, that sounds a bit too good to be true. I was like, how much is it? Oh, 99 quid. I was like, you know what? It's a day out for 99 quid. I'm not going
to complain. Have you done any racing prior to that?
I have not done any racing.
Nothing around the track.
I've done karting once as a 14-year-old. Okay. That's it. I do love driving. Like cars in yeah. general, but had not done any racing. I'd competed horses since yeah. I was 7.
That's it.
And I was just like, you know what, I'll give it a go. And I lived in Ireland at the time, and Mondello Park was just up the road, so I contacted them and said, oh, can I come and do some time on track just to see if I like it? And I did 90 minutes in a mini with a driver instructor and was like, this is quite fun, I quite like this. I did that on the Friday, I think, and I got the ferry the next day over to the UK. I did another track day with the company that was running the competition on the Monday, just to see.
Just to double check.
Just to double check and to get a bit more experience. And I met Amy, who's now one of my most amazing friends. She did the 24-hour with me on that Monday. And I literally did probably a maximum of an hour, hour and 20 minutes on track in total across the day. Few different cars, and I just loved it. And my dad's always loved motorsport. He was the one that got me in Formula One as a kid, and he was with me, and he was like, this is great. And I think someone turned around and said, he's, you know, this is gonna cost you. And my dad was like, it is, isn't it? Because I was just straight in that car, loving it. And a week later we had the evaluation day, and you basically showed up, you did a bit of on track assessment, fitness assessment, media assessment, karting assessment, and a bit of theory as well. And essentially that was it. You did that, and then you went home and you hoped for the best. And,
right.
and if you got into the final, they'd let you know a few months later, and I did.
Mm.
And the competition itself, I got into the final 25, narrowly missed out, but thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And decided, well, I'm not going to leave it there. I love this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I took my race license in that period as well. And as I said, Amy, I'd met on that first day, and I met a couple of the girls through different things through that competition. So that's what really brought us together, and had an amazing experience. We went ice driving in Sweden.
Oh my god, that
which
sounds so cool!
Is the coolest thing. It was
how
a
much different
of a day.
Is that to driving on the road?
It's so different, but you learn so much about handling a car and how the weight and the brake transfer helps, and it's just wicked. I remember like going sideways around a corner in the snow, going, this is awesome.
No, thank you.
And that's how I really got to know Kerry, because we were in the same car for a few days. But essentially, all of us that didn't win that competition, the few of us sat down and we went, are we going to give up now?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to give up now. Let's do something. And we came across the right people at the right time and got into that 24-hour race as our first ever race, because go hard or go home.
Obviously.
Why would we want to do a short race? We're only 24 hours. Exactly. So essentially five of us, one car, and you do qualifying and you do night practice, because obviously
driving at night is terrifying.
12 of the hours is night time, so you're going to have to drive in the dark at some point. So for qualifying, because there's five of you and it's quite a short space of time, you hop in the car, you do an out lap, a flying lap, an in lap, that's it.
Right.
And then night practice is a bit the same, because they just give you a bit of time just to get out. Had never driven around Silverstone, and it's the full F1 track as well.
Oh my God.
And I was under safety car for both of those two sessions on the Friday, so
hadn't had much.
And then Saturday 6 p.m. race start. Amy started the race, and what we did was we did on average 2 hour stints. So that's 5 2 hour stints and then cycle through again. So I remember being, I think I was last in the car, so I was 2 a.m. my first stint was 2 a.m.
Oh my God.
I remember getting in the car, it was dark, I was so excited but also mega nervous because it's your first race. And I got out and off I went, and for the first two laps, I was like, what the hell am I doing?
I kind of get that.
There's no lighting, so you've obviously just got your headlights, but when you're...
Not a main beam, I'm assuming.
Yes, main beam.
Oh, right, okay.
You can have main beam. But basically, your lights point forwards, but you're racing, and you're taking racing lines. So your lights might be pointing forward, but the apex of the corner's over there.
Right, so you can't even
And
see
I
that.
Was like, I don't know where it is. And you're just having, like, those first two laps, you're just like, what am I doing? Why am I here? Why did I decide this was a good idea? And then you settled into it a couple of laps later, and it was just the most amazing experience. And the 2 hours flew by. Like, they called me in, because we have pit boards, we don't have radios, just pit board. I got called in and I was like, why'd you bring me in? They're like, your 2 hours is over. I was like, oh, it felt like 40 minutes. Like, it flew, absolutely flew by. And it was such a crazy experience. We were the only all-female team.
Love
and
that.
By far one of the best experiences of my life.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to finish the race, unfortunately. Right. But we did do 20 of the 24 hours.
Oh, so you essentially finished
it. We nearly got there.
Yeah.
And considering it was all of our first race, we were so happy with how we did. And then it was like, oh, well, we're not going to give up now. Yeah. So we, you know, found ways to keep racing that season. And we did a few more. So we did 3 hours at Brands Hatch. We did 2 3-hour races at Croft as well. And that was kind of our season.
Yeah.
But out of all of that, Team Valkyrie was born as the idea that women can race, much like how all female teams are created. And that we are strong and we're fast.
Yeah.
And we can do this. And we just wanted to be able to create something that was ours that we could push and then go racing.
Amazing. So what are you actually racing? What car is it that you're in?
So at the moment, that was a Citroën C1. So
okay.
You see them everywhere. They're little road cars. You would not think they race.
Like proper spec'd up?
They're pretty road standard. Obviously, all ripped out, roll cage in. They can be tuned a little bit, but basically you're racing a tiny little car that's created for city driving. But so is everyone else.
Yeah.
So you're all in the same machinery. Yeah. And I remember there being 66 of us starting that 24-hour race.
And
there
was chaos.
40 odd of us around Brands Hatch Indy, which is not a big track. And Paddock Hill is crazy. So, you know, that was what we raced then. I've done a few track days and a few different things, minis, Jaguars. And it's just now we're just sort of trying to get together some plans for sort of the rest of this year or next year, depending on what we can do.
Amazing. So how do you kind of balance that with your actual job then? Because it's chaos at work and having a racing season involved in that as well. It's like two full-time jobs.
Yeah, I am the epitome of chaos sometimes. my job is obviously a full-time job, which I love. And then racing is also a full-time job, especially when you're looking for sponsorship, because it's not a cheap sport.
Yeah.
As we all know, it's a very expensive sport to be in. And you need that sponsorship because you can't do it on a normal salary.
No.
It's not one of these
your
hobbies.
Yearly salary,
it's not tennis.
Is the entry.
Literally. And not even for some championships. No. It would take me about 3 years salary, no costs to enter. So you need that sponsorship. And so when you're sat there, you're trying to contact people, speak to businesses, but also figure out what they want and how you can benefit them, because they're not just going to chuck money at you for nothing. That's not,
they want something out of it as well.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not the point. So that's a full-time job. And then obviously I'm also finishing my degree now, but I've been doing a degree for the last nearly 2.5 years, which has also been pretty full-time alongside both of those things. So chaos is definitely...
Do you ever switch off?
No. I don't think so. Every so often I just reach a point and I'm like, I need sleep.
Yeah.
But
what do you do to switch off?
I go to the gym.
Okay.
Like gym, although I haven't been for a while now, but the gym was my like hour to myself, hour and a half to myself. I used to like also walks, just get out in sunshine.
Yeah. Fresh air.
Even at work, if I've had my lunch and I've got a bit of time left, I'll do a few laps. Mm. Obviously, the factory is in the middle of the Cotswolds, so it's basically in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So you've got a pretty quiet little track you can walk around. So I just make sure I get a couple of walks in a day just to switch off and relax. And then, the gym pretty much. But also spending time with friends and family.
Yeah.
My friends down there, I have my family in different places. Obviously, my mum and sister still live in Ireland, so getting back to see them every so often, and my horses and my dogs.
I was going to say, do you still ride?
Not as much at the moment, so most of my horses are retired.
Right, okay.
But I still try to when I go back, so we'll go hacking, or I'll hop on one of my semi-retired and pop a few fences.
Love that. There's something so magical about going to the horses that just brings you back to a place where it's like, oh, zen.
Yeah, they're so calming as well.
Unless it's being naughty, then it's... It's one of two ways it could go.
Pick or choose which one I want to see on the day. Do I want to be wound up or do I want to relax?
It's so true.
Because we have a few youngsters because we still breed one or two a year.
Right.
And it's one of those. You're just like, oh, you're so cuddly and sweet. And then that one's
it's crazy. We'll leave you alone for a sec.
We'll leave you over there.
Yeah. Horses are a world of their own, aren't they? Entirely.
But so amazing as well. Like all their different personalities and... They're just huge dogs with strange personalities. And strange fears of plastic bags, and it's just funny.
Plastic bags. One broke my arm because of a plastic bag once. I'm like, that's brilliant.
Honestly, some of the stories I have from those horses, but I have one that's petrified of plastic bags. Tractors, no problem.
See, I've had one with the fear of tractors. So strange.
Crazy. And I mean, I used to event him and he'd jump all these solid objects, but God help if there's a plastic badger in his head.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're not going anywhere near it.
You know, or if you're going cross country and there's some woman in a Mack behind a hedge, like the big table.
So strange, aren't they?
The big brightly painted hay cart that's like the size of me, not a problem. Yeah. Your woman in the pink Mack.
No.
Crazy.
No chance.
Not happening.
Speaking of dogs, if you can hear anybody on the podcast, a dog squeaking. I think there is a dog in here somewhere. But we are actually in a cafe, aren't we?
So,
bit of background to why we are in a cafe. We were meant to be hiring a studio today. And I'm not joking, we've wandered around for about 10 minutes. The studio was shut.
Yes.
So, we're now back in the cafe where we got our lunch. So, just a bit of a FYI to be honest.
Although it's kind of nice because it's a bit like a coffee chat,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, a bit of a coffee date.
With a few extra people.
Exactly, it's quite fun. So, looking to Australia, which is next weekend at the time of recording, what is your team working on towards this race?
So, obviously, we're trying our best to bring improvements and we'll see how it goes for the next few races. But from a different perspective, we're also putting all of the names of all of the female employees on the cars for Australia. So obviously you'd have seen that by the time this airs, but it's a really nice little initiative for International Women's Day that they're doing. And it's kind of exciting because my name's going to be on a car.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So that's really exciting. And so, it's just about seeing how we finish. Obviously each track is different as well. We've got improvements coming to the car. Mm. We're not, you know, running in blind. We know where we're sitting in the grid at the moment and we're just trying to make sure we can move up as we go along.
Yeah, I think it's nice that you're continuing the International Women's Day thing into the weekend. Like, you've not just made it about that one day and that's all we're seeing from you. You can genuinely see that there's things being done in the background to improve these things.
Absolutely. So Alpine, and one of the reasons I love working there so much, is all of their initiatives for women and diversity in motorsport. We have different programs. As I said, we've got the names going on the car. We often have guest speakers, but we also have our academy. So we have Abby and Sophia, who are both racing different series, the academy and F3. We've got the Race Her initiative, which is supporting 6 young female carters up through the ranks, hopefully going into some more formula, like eventually with the aim of getting into Formula One. We also have STEM initiatives. Mm-hmm. We have Women in Engineering. We constantly pushing to try and bring that percentage of women in the workplace up from the current 13% that it's at, and do it properly as well, and not to feel like we're just trying to, you know, increase those numbers.
Try and do a box ticket exercise.
Those women genuinely are excellent and deserve every role they've got.
Amazing, love that. Well, this has been a lovely conversation. I feel like it's been so fun to actually have you in person and have a good chat. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.